You will turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 11 and hold your place there. Genesis chapter 11. Keep your place there in Genesis and we'll come to it in a few moments. As I enter each new year, I ask the Lord for a word for that year, and sometimes I don't feel that I really have anything, and so I don't try to make something up. I just don't address it. I just don't bring anything concerning the new year. But many years I have, and some of you have been here long enough, you remember words like acceleration and exponential and those things that the Lord spoke to us some years ago that we truly have been able to watch and see come to pass and that have caused us to be keen and sensitive to the things that are happening around us in the world. I believe that it has helped us to be more sensitive to those things. And so the word for 2023 sets our trajectory for the year. When we have a word from the Lord like this, it gives us a context for the coming year that we might bring that word and embrace it in our spirit and that we might be able to then look at the world around us and the things that are happening in the context of what God has already spoken to us at the beginning of the year. This is a very simple word. It's not some great new enlightenment to you of something that you don't know, but I believe that it is an address from the Lord or a call from the Lord, and that call is this one word, a call to alignment. Alignment, and we'll see what that means as we go along. Let me make this statement as I begin this morning. Nothing advances in its purpose or achieves its goal without proper alignment. Nothing advances, nothing achieves its goal without proper alignment. You know, when your car is out of alignment, it is an aggravating thing, is it not? You go in to have it aligned, and your typical statement would be, well, my car is pulling to the right, or my car is pulling to the left, because it's not in proper alignment. The wheels are not in proper alignment. When they're not in proper alignment, there's a pull, there's a tow, there's a tug in one direction or the other. I remember as a young boy, I don't know how big an issue this is with modern day vehicles, but when I was young, my dad's old pickup truck, I was driving it down a dirt road one day and the tie rod came loose. I thank the Lord that I was going relatively slow on a dirt road without any traffic on it, because when the tie rod, which bridges the wheels and keeps them in unity, keeps them in alignment in a different way from your regular alignment, but it ties them together, and when it breaks, when it comes disconnected, the wheels can't function together. They wobble. They work contrary to one another, and I immediately drove into a sandbank and was stuck and had to walk home and get help because there was a lack of proper alignment. When your car is out of alignment, things do not function in unity. And there is a pull, again, to the right or to the left. There's a pull one direction or another. And it's not possible to make a straight course if something is out of alignment. And this applies in all areas of our lives because, excuse me, the enemy has for us on either side a ditch. And if we're pulled too far one direction or the other, off of course, we end up in a ditch. There's this pull. I don't know about your life, but maybe you can even think of this morning, that the direction that you know the Lord has for you, the direction of your life, the direction that you know is right, that you know is righteous, that you know is true according to the Lord. You try to walk that walk and you try to be going in the direction that the Lord has for you, but there's a pull. And that's where repentance comes in, because we're always being pulled one way or the other. Am I right? Being pulled one way or the other. There's a tug, there's a tow, there's a pull that wants to get us off course. The Bible is filled with stories of men and women who came into alignment. with God's will for their generation, God's will with His kingdom, with His purposes, His plans for their life. That's when we see great things happen in the lives of these men and women, is when their life comes into alignment with the will of God. You know, this projector screen behind me, when we use it, there's an alignment. There are lenses in the projector that have to be aligned properly in order to have a sharp image. And if those aren't in perfect alignment for the distance from the screen, then things get out of focus and it becomes fuzzy. It loses its proper clarity. Alignment is so important in every aspect of our life. We're always wanting to bring our lives into alignment with that which is going to cause us to function properly. And so again, we have these men and women throughout the Word of God that have aligned themselves with the will of God. But over against that, in the Word of God, we also have at the same time a whole litany, an entire litany of men and women who have aligned themselves with the kingdom of darkness, with the will of Satan in their generation, the will of Satan for their life. And so we find that their lives are out of proper alignment, but they're in alignment nevertheless with something that is wrong, with something that is dark. This last few years, we have seen great shifting. I believe the Lord gave me this word for this year, because if you think about, and I want you to think about especially the last year, that we've seen all kinds of things happening in our world and in our culture. But what do you see happening to the people around you? You see people, and if you watch the news, you see people in the news. You see leaders, you see news media, you see individuals, you see entertainers in the world of entertainment. You see people drawing up lines, in other words, gravitating one direction or another and aligning themselves with certain things. You see this strong alignment taking place. And where you see strong alignment taking place, you see hostilities rising. Am I right? See, people are aligning themselves with either being woke, aligning themselves with being on this side of a situation or of an idea or of some philosophy or a different direction, and they align themselves, and then they come into conflict with those who have aligned themselves differently from themselves. And that is why we have this clash between cultures and this clash between different people groups today that we see in the world. And so there is this strong alignment taking place. You've seen it in some of your friends. You've seen people that have become very, very vocal. I know a person, and this is no one that you're familiar with, nobody in this room, so don't be thinking about the church and who I might be talking about. But I know this individual that cannot even communicate. They're very shy, you would think, and they don't look you in the eye, and they can't enter into just normal conversations. They're very withdrawn. And yet in recent times, they have become very much aligned with certain things that we believe to be wrong in our society, with certain liberal viewpoints. And if you get on the subject of those things, suddenly that person becomes very vocal, and it's almost as though this person is animated by a demon, because they can suddenly speak clearly and forcefully, and they have all of their information at their fingertips, and they have aligned themselves fully with something that they feel strongly about. And they're willing to attack. They're willing to come against those who do not feel the same way. I'm not sure how many of you have seen perhaps loved ones and people around you that are gravitating in that way towards things that they feel strongly about, and there is this strong, strong alignment that is taking place. Believers, Christians, we find, are adopting viewpoints that they don't get from the Word of God. They're adopting viewpoints that come from vocal, loud, liberal media entities, people that are spouting certain viewpoints in our culture, and we find that they are aligning themselves with that. We find Americans who were once patriotic Americans aligning themselves with socialism, aligning themselves with communism. We find that Psalm 2 speaks of this time. We're not going to turn there. You know it. You've read it and you've heard it many times. Speaks of this time as the time when the kingdoms of this world cast off the bonds of Jehovah. You remember? They cast off the bonds of Jehovah, which means that they cast off the parameters and the boundaries that God places upon a people. The boundaries set by God as they align themselves with the boundaries and the thoughts of man, the will of man rather than the will of God. It's what we've talked about, church, for years. It's what we've talked about for years, and we see it just in this last year more than ever. We see it now just snowballing, this alignment, things falling into place, things being aligned with the coming Antichrist world system that we're seeing beginning to develop, coming to pass as nations align themselves on a global scale more than ever in our lifetimes to bring about the things that we have read about concerning the end times and concerning prophecy. We find that ultimately that world system arises, it stands in opposition to God, and we stand, beloved, on the very brink of seeing all of this just come into absolute fulfillment. I'm not a prophet and I'm not setting times or seasons, but I'm saying that we are so close, and we just, if you're looking, you can see it very clearly. And I'm probably jumping ahead of myself, but let me say to you this morning, the few things that I will mention this morning that are happening and that are coming, you cannot accuse me of speaking of conspiracy theories. Because these are things that you can, all you have to do is a little research. All you have to do is look into these things to find that they are simply facts. Things that are happening in the world today and that you need to be aware of and that you need to know. We see it in the following things. We see this alignment on a global scale, alignment of political powers, ethnic groups, cultures, religious groups, in agreement with Satan's plans and the coming Antichrist system. So we know that over the years you've seen these things happening in various nations, and now for the first time in the history of war of the world, we see what mankind apart from God has longed for so long, the rise of this global system, globalism now coming to the forefront. Without God, I want you to listen to me very closely. If you don't have God, then the best you have in this world is a global system. It is an ideal. That's why we have that song Imagine by John Lennon. That's why people sing about all of these things of the coming together of the nations. And it, without God, that's the best mankind can come up with. And it sounds good to the unbeliever. If I were not a believer, I would be all for it. I would be saying, yes, that's a wonderful idea, because, of course, if there's only one nation on the entire planet, it'd be a lot harder to go to war against other nations, wouldn't it? If there's only one nation, then you've automatically got world peace. But that one nation can be evil. And therefore, you can have an entire planet enslaved by people that have not the thought, the good motives, and the thought, the caring thought for the people of the world, but in order to manipulate and use them for their own power and for their own greed and their own enrichment. But we see this now coming. We see this globalism beginning to take place, and people are gravitating to it with such force that they will never let it go. The second one is alignment of the individual. You see people aligning themselves, as I began this message, with these current trends and with areas of thought that are filled with the priorities of the enemy of our soul rather than the priority of the Word of God. And then thirdly, we see the alignment of the true believer. This goes unnoticed almost in the world today. But we find that there is an alignment, and this is the call of God this morning. So this isn't all about what's bad in the world and what's bad that's happening, but God is issuing a call. It's like the final call. God's issuing a call to alignment. We could speak it in biblical terms and other words. Come into agreement with me, God says. Come into agreement with me, because alignment is agreement. Amen? Come into alignment. The time is short. Come into alignment with me. You see people around you falling into alignment with all kinds of evil things. And the Lord is pleading with his people to get those things out of their thoughts, out of their lives. Come into alignment. You may not be able to down the road. If your heart is so hard, you begin to harden your heart even further, and you get cold towards the things of God. There's a time when he turns you over to those things. He just gives you what you want. Beloved, you don't want to come to the place where God gives you what you've wanted. You want your desires to line up with the Word of God, so that what you want is what God wants. You want to desire to know the Lord in your heart and to have a concern for everything that his word says, and to come into alignment with all of those things that speak to your life and where you are in your walk with him. The word of God is filled with answers to every single problem that you could possibly have. Answers for the direction that you need in your life. The Lord will speak to you. He will guide you. He will clarify all things. If you come into alignment, come into alignment with his will for your life. Come into alignment with his plan and with his lifestyle even. Come into alignment with God's great plan for your life. Today's scripture that we're going to read is no new scripture to you. You've heard it so many times. But I wanted us to use this today in Genesis chapter 11 to understand the roots of what we are seeing take place around us. But what we are seeing began at this tower, the Tower of Babel, and we return to that tower in the last days before the coming of the Lord. And this scripture that we are going to read, it comes at a very specific time. It's a very specific context that we see in a time when the flood has taken place. Noah has been saved with his family. They have come out from the ark. We're not going to read about that, but they've come out from the ark and they have repopulated. The earth now has anywhere 1 million or more people, depending upon variables that can be studied. And so we find that there's a large population on the earth, and they are all gathered together. They live in one area. One area is where they have a strong concentration living in one place. The story takes place as a reaction to something. We're going to read the Tower of Babel, but you already know it. And I'm telling you at the beginning, the Tower of Babel is a reaction. It's a reaction to God's judgment. And it's the wrong reaction. Man should have learned from what God did with the flood and the kingdom he was establishing upon the earth as the earth was repopulated. But the sinful heart of man still wants to turn away from the Lord and to live according to its own dictates. And so we find that this reaction was one of that they would avoid, they would do everything that they could to avoid any kind of judgment of God again, as we will see. Noah was a man who came into alignment, came into perfect alignment with God for his life. And he came into alignment not only with God's will, but with the prophetic word that God was giving for that hour. I want to ask you something this morning, because I believe that it's possible for you to struggle in an area here. In an area here. You may be seeking to walk with the Lord, and you may be wanting certain areas of your life to be close to the Lord and to understand the Lord and to trust him, but you may be resisting God's prophetic word. What do I mean by that? Some people want to know God, but they don't want to know about the future. They want to know God, but they don't want to know what His will is for them in relationship to His coming again. They don't want to know what He is saying to their nation. They don't want to know what He is saying concerning the things that are happening in the world today. They want to live in the Bible stories. They want to live in the truths of the Word of God, which is a good place to begin, but they don't want to see how do those truths apply to me as I walk in this world that is heading towards the judgment of God. Beloved, these are not popular things that I'm saying, but you cannot change the truth of the Word of God, and you cannot throw out one part of the Word of God. We are heading towards God's judgment. And God will judge the nations of the world, and He will judge the individuals of the world. It's coming, and you can't change that. But what you can do is you can come into alignment with it. You can come into alignment with what God is saying to us as a people, and also what He is saying concerning the context of His prophetic word for this hour. As you know, Noah was mocked, and he paid the price. Jesus said, if you're going to be my follower, count the cost. Count the cost. Take note, you cannot be aligned with God and be aligned with this world. You cannot be in alignment with God and be in alignment with this world and with unbelievers. How can two walk together if they are not in agreement? Genesis 11, 1 through 9. Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. The Bible says that when they came together, this is after the flood. I want you to understand, no significant event has happened until now. From the time of the flood, this is the first event historically that has happened. And what happens is the reaction to what God has done. The Bible says they still had one language. This huge multitude of people had one language. Now, listen for just a moment. They had one language. It's okay to have one language, but if that one language is based on God's word, then the result is alignment with God. Just follow me for a moment. If all of you in here are speaking one language, that's fine. As long as that one language is based upon God's word, then it is going to bring you into alignment with God. But if that one language, if you have one language, and it's only man's language, it's not based upon any truth in the word of God, it's based on man's opinions. If that one speech is based on man's opinions and his pride alone, then it is an alignment with evil. Tower of Babel. The people had one language, and that language was devoid of God's opinion, God's word. Anything is possible when you have one language. We see that here in this passage of scripture. The Lord later, we're going to find, He says that anything that they want to do is possible to them. If you have one language, in other words, if you have this perfect communication between a group of people, they can do everything or anything that they set their minds to, but that doesn't mean it'll be the right thing, does it? It will be the wrong thing if it's not based upon the Word of God. In verses 2 and 3, we find they had bricks instead of stone. All the way through the Word of God, we find that there is this importance of bricks are bricks representing man's strength, what man can build, what he can accomplish. Stone is symbolic of God's work. God's work, it doesn't deteriorate. It's eternal. It represents that which is eternal in nature. In verse four, they said, let us build for ourselves. In other words, for the glory of man. Nothing here mentions the glory of God. Nothing here mentions any submission to God. Nothing here mentions any following of the Lord or any allowing for truth to have its way in their lives. It is the glory of man and no dependence upon God. Only dependence upon man, their own strength, their own way, their own will. It is a picture of today's culture. If you look, if you can get past my stumbling and my coughing this morning, look at what's taking place in the Word of God. It is a picture of where we are today. We have come full circle. We're going to find that this tower is a picture of man coming together in humanism, coming together to do his own will, his own way, and to thumb his nose at God. It is a picture of what we see taking place as the nations of the world come together in global alignment today. Let us build a tower under the heavens. Most people read this and think it just means let it be the tallest tower in the world. But that word, let me show you how to read this phrase a little differently. If I say I'm going out here and I'm going to build a monument to the Lord, does that mean I'm going to build it so high that somehow it touches God physically? No, it means I'm building it unto Him, doesn't it? It's to honor Him. And there are towers, they're called ziggurats if you read your history. There are many, many ziggurats from the time when this one was built. This would be the foremost and the largest one of all. And they are built as astronomical observatories. In the peak of these towers, usually there was a room of some type with the astrological signs. It was used in the worship of the sun, the moon, and the stars. In other words, it was used in idolatry, where something takes the place of the true God. We are going to build a tower to the heavens, unto the heavens, honoring the heavens. We're going to build a tower that reaches towards the heavens because that's where we're looking to for our direction and for our guidance. Not the heavens of God, but the heavens of the sun, the moon, and the stars. And so they're building this tower that is unto the heavens. In the development of that story, we see the development of today's growing system that is ripe for the Antichrist. Nimrod, who is the one we see later, is the one who is the leader of this entire project, the leader of this thing. Nimrod is a picture of Antichrist. He's a picture of he is the Antichrist of his day, and he is a foreshadowing of the Antichrist to come in our world and where we are heading today. He draws people into alignment with his plan. What plan? His great plan to bring all people together, all people who speak the same, think the same, are aligned together against God to worship false gods, and to come together to build something that not only honors the false and the false gods, but also shows the power of man, the power of the individual. Lest we be scattered, it says. We want to build something that will be a name for ourselves. See the pride that is on display here. Lest we be scattered. God had commanded in the creation, he had commanded man to do what? Go into all the world, to populate the world, to subdue the world. In other words, to bring it all under cultivation and to settle the entire planet. But they had stayed in one place after the flood. They said, we're not going to do what God says. We're going to remain in one place. We're going to build a tower that glorifies man and glorifies false gods. And we're not going to listen to what God has to say. In verse 5 and 6, but the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language, And this is what they began to do. Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. What we find in this story is the power of unity when people come in agreement. And we know in the Bible in various places that when Christians come together in unity, there's also power, right? The day of Pentecost, the believers were 120 in the upper room, and they were in unity as they waited upon God's fulfillment of His promise. God's fulfillment of His promise. In verses 7 through 9, we read about what God, you know, as God looked down, what He had to say about this and His judgment of it. God has a plan. God has a plan to bring all of His people together in perfect unity also, in His kingdom, in alignment with His way. But the world still wants Babylon. You see, we find that Babylon, bear with me, we find that this Babel becomes, even though God destroys it, the seeds of that kind of humanism is what man calls it. That type of man taking the place of God. We find in the Word of God that that then plays out throughout the Scripture as Babylon. It is rebuilt, it comes back, and it comes back. God is always judging Babylon, because Babylon is always standing in opposition to the kingdom of God. It's not a country, it's not a city, it's not a place necessarily, it's a system. And we find that it always operates parallel with where God's kingdom is operating, his purposes are taking place. God has a kingdom to fulfill His one plan for the earth and for mankind. But Babylon is what man, without God, is always wanting to create and always wanting to choose. What are the hallmarks? See, you'll be familiar with this. What are the hallmarks of this Babylon system? One world government, one world economy, and one world religion. I remember years ago as a young man being taught and seeing and reading that one day, according to the Word of God, we were going to head towards one world government, one world religion, one world economy. And you would shake your head back then and think, how can this be? How can this thing ever happen? How can it ever take place? Babylon was man's first attempt at globalism. It was all the people of that day gathered together under one leader, an Antichrist, or because he was anti the things of God. In 2023, you're going to see, I've laid all of this as a foundation, you're going to see this continuing falling out of people into alignment with one thing or another. I believe you're going to see it ever increasingly as the days go by, and ever more boldly. Now that may be kind of frightening, because you've seen some pretty bold people in the last year or two. But they're only going to grow worse, the Bible says. And you're going to see this aligning, nations aligning, people aligning, groups aligning, people from different cultures aligning with what they are trying to promote. But all of it serving this one purpose, this coming together in a global system that will thumb the nose at God. As the nations and the people are gathered together against the Lord, as Psalm 2 says so brilliantly, that they come together and they cast off the restraints of God. You see a continued shifting of people as they align themselves with different isms, but these isms all come together to serve this Antichrist system, socialism, communism, and many other things. You're going to see more and more about the World Economic Forum and the leaders and the coming changes that they are desiring to bring about. If you don't know, and I'm not saying that you have to be a scholar on these things, but you really should know as a believer what the World Economic Forum is. And you really should know what their plan for the Great Reset is. I've preached on it before. It's nothing new. It's not some conspiracy theory. It's outlined very simply and plainly for you to go to their website and read. And nations, basically every nation on earth, has signed on to their plan for the Great Reset. The Great Reset is exactly what it says. It is a resetting of the world's economy. It's a resetting of every aspect of your life as you know it under a new system. And that system is socialistic and communistic in nature. The Great Reset, they have already planned that in 2030, they said if you look at the year 2030, this will be what you will say. You will say, I own nothing and I am very happy with it. I own nothing. Now, that is communism. I own nothing and yet I am very happy. Public opinion today is like a tsunami. People are aligning themselves quickly. Where are you aligning yourself? People are aligning themselves very quickly, very rapidly now with one thought or another, one way or another, and ultimately it comes down to God's way or man's way. And so they are aligning themselves, and it's like a tsunami that's coming. People are aligning themselves. You don't have to think to be carried away by a tsunami, do you? You don't have to think. And really, that's one of the easiest ways to be carried away by it, is to not think about it. I refuse to think about it. I refuse to think about it. And here comes the tsunami, and it sweeps you away. Public opinion today is like that. And it has an incredible power to change the world. And so we find again that these groups no longer hide. When I said it's not a conspiracy theory, these are no longer hiding their plan as they used to. It's all broadcast and in plain sight for you to look at. Here is a fact. Many, many workers in our government today who were socialists and even members of the American Communist Party are working with others globally to radically change America and prepare for one world agenda to come into place. In order for their goals to succeed, here's a main thought this morning. You can see this and you can watch it take place. In order for their goals to succeed, there has to be a breaking of almost everything in our society. In other words, they are putting everything into place so that when something breaks, they have the solution. They can fix it. And they rush in to fix it, but it all comes under this new world order and this new world agenda. People are looking for comfort. We have become a society that is very comfortable. And we have many things at our fingertips that make our lives comfortable. And people will accept, you can look around you and you can see this now. People will accept almost anything as long as their needs are met. And their needs includes their technology. Don't take away my technology. Don't take away my food and you can just mess with the rest of my life all you want to and that's fine. I don't care if I have no privacy left. I don't care if I have no freedoms left. Take it all. Just give me my technology and give me my food. The groups that are doing this today have plans and they must destroy normality. They have to break what is normal around you. COVID was part of that. They have to destroy normality and cause fear in order to bend the will of the people. There has to be a crisis like COVID in order to get people accustomed to more control of their lives, less freedom, and total compliance. Beloved, COVID, no matter what you think of it, no matter what you think of its origin, its reality, how bad its effects are and have been, no matter how you think it has been used or not used, I can tell you this, It is, more than any other time in our lifetime, it has been a tool that has been grabbed hold of by evil powers in order to bring people into compliance with their plans and with the things that they say, and to test in America, for example, to test the American people to see how compliant they will be and how much they are willing to give up for the sake of safety and health. An even greater global crisis will come, though, or a group of global crises will come that will cause people to cry out for a world leader to save them. And there are already people, if you listen to the news, everywhere there are people saying, we need one leader. We need one ruler that will rule us and that will handle all of these problems. It's too much for one nation. And so many are already calling for that. More people are going to align with that call and that desire for a world leader. And that these groups and this world leader must break our belief in another, must break in other things. I just want to mention a few of them. The world system must break our belief in our own sovereignty as a nation so that we will give up our unique status and our freedoms. Sovereignty means our own self-control of ourselves as a nation, that we are a unique entity. And we are giving that up every year, as you know. We are giving up that sovereignty and that belief in that sovereignty. We must have our borders broken in order to bring about their plan for the cultures of the world. We must have our economy broken in order to bring about this new world economy. In this next year, you're going to see even more talk about this, but this one world digital currency is actually being tested right now. And it is on the way. And many people are just, so excited about digital currency and Bitcoin and all of these different things. It won't be Bitcoin, but the plan is for a digital currency that will be a worldwide currency that is all digital. You never hold cash in your hand. That's what we've known as believers all of our lifetime that the Antichrist would do, because it's the only way that we can be told as an entire world population that we can't buy or sell without the mark of the beast. And so once they switch to a digital currency, they can, just like Nigeria, right now, Nigeria has been told that they cannot withdraw more than $45 per person in a certain time period. So what if you wake up tomorrow and the government, all you have is a digital form of money, and the government tells you, okay, you're not allowed to draw out just any amount you want today out of your savings. You can only draw out $100 today because there's a problem, you know, with the economy. And so what if they look at your social media and they say, you've been vocal against the government. You've been saying things against the government, and you've been promoting this Christ being king of all. And that doesn't fit in with the plans that we have for mankind. And so we're putting a freeze on your accounts. You can't draw any money out. You can't use any money. You wouldn't draw it out literally anyway because it's cashless. But all of your money would be in digital form. And the government then has absolute control over every penny. That is coming rapidly. You must break the police so that we can implement the military and have military police stationed everywhere. They must break the schools in order to have absolute government control of what's being taught and uniformity of what's being taught. Most of all, they have to break the moral foundations. Where we have foundations in our nation that come from our being founded as a Christian nation, the moral foundations are founded upon the Word of God, what it is, what is right and what is wrong based upon the Word of God. Let me just mention these three areas before we end this morning. There's transgenderism. None of these are new to you, but there's transgenderism, abortion, and perversions that are being normalized all the time in our society. The Bible says that as it was in the days of Noah and in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. In other words, the return of the Lord. I want to just give you a thought here for a moment. This isn't a message about current events. This is a message about a call of the Lord. Come into alignment, he says, with me. Come into alignment. Bring your life into alignment with my word, with my plan for your life. Bring your life into alignment with the motivations, the governing of my kingdom based upon my word. We have always heard that said, it's going to be just like it was in the days of Noah and in the days of Lot. So therefore, we know that that was a time of homosexuality. It was a time of great greed, and it was a time of violence. And so we look around and we see what's happening in our culture, and we say, see, it's just like the days. That's what we always tie it to. It's just like the days of Noah and the days of Lot. Homosexuality is rampant. Greed and violence are everywhere. Just as in the days of Noah and in the days of Lot. Beloved, let me just ask you a question this morning. We always gravitate towards the evil in it. Let me ask you this. What about as it was in the days of Noah, there was a Noah? Follow me for a moment. As it was in the days of Noah, there was a Noah. As it was in the days of Noah, there was a man and his family who stood alone, who counted the cost, who came into alignment with God, who was willing to do what God said and to believe what God said, even though it cost them everything in the midst of their culture and in their generation. To be betrayed, to be mocked, to be laughed at, to be avoided. Today, so many people, all they can think about is being accepted. Jesus never said you'll be accepted. Come into alignment, he says, with my kingdom. Come into alignment. Now is the time. Now is the hour. The time is growing short. What are your alignments? What are your agreements? Are you in alignment with the word of God and submission to the word of God? Are you willing to be a Noah? Are you willing to stand alone? Are you willing to be betrayed? Are you willing to be mocked? Are you willing to put your hand to the plow and work, 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 work for the kingdom of God? Live as a testimony in your generation. Be in alignment with God's word, with his will, by obeying him, by following him, by serving him, by standing alone if necessary. That's what God is asking. Will you come into alignment? Though it costs you everything. Who today will come into alignment with the Lord? Jesus said, heaven and earth may pass away, but my word abides forever. I'm not going to spend much more time on the current things, but beloved, as time goes by, be prepared. Be prepared even in the next year, I believe, for your mind to be blown by what you see. Artificial intelligence is going to amaze you if it hasn't already. You think that there's nothing to that. Maybe you laugh about it. And it is absolutely astounding what they're doing with artificial intelligence. Technological advances are going to astound you. The things that God has allowed within the creativity that he has put within man and the intelligence that he has put within man, and now man is using it against the Lord. But he continues to discover and invent and develop things and to grow in these areas of advancement. Transhumanism is going to blow your mind. And some of you may be saying, I don't know what these things are. Beloved, artificial intelligence, if you've not just watched some simple YouTube videos, and I know that some of it can be hyped, but if you've not just studied it out and watched the YouTube videos on Sophia. Watch Sophia. She is a representative of artificial intelligence, an ambassador, if you will, to the world. Watch her hold conversations with people and answer questions in interviews and then ask the interviewer questions. And then now there's Amica or Amica. I've heard it pronounced two different ways. If you've not seen Amica, Amica is less intelligent as Sophia, but Amica is being designed with facial expressions that are even more lifelike and more realistic than Sophia. And they truly are mind-blowing, both of them. The capabilities and what has been done in that one area. And the thing about it is that it's always able to continue to become more and more intelligent because everything that it does, hears, and learns goes into its data bank and makes it more and more like a human in knowledge. And you know, at the very least, these things are taking over more and more jobs. More and more jobs as people become less necessary because robots are able to do the work. Transhumanism is taking the biomedical advances that they are making in order to mesh together mechanical, biomedical parts with human, which can be a great thing. There are now limbs, there are now prosthetic limbs that are so lifelike and so mechanical and can do so many things just like a human hand, a human arm, that it's absolutely amazing. But their desire, their plan, and they're working feverishly on this every single day. Their ultimate goal is to be able to add to the capacity of man intellectually and physically, to improve upon all of his muscular abilities with biomedical improvements, to be able to also improve his mind by being able to map the human mind like a computer and to be able to download instead of you having to sit and learn by reading an entire book. It can all just be downloaded into your mind just like a computer. And their goal is that one day after they've replaced every part of you that they can replace, but that perhaps they've not completely perfected it. And so maybe you live to be 150 or 200 years by parts being replaced. Eventually, your literal brain is going to die and they can't recreate it at that time. And so they want to be able to upload your consciousness into the cloud so that you continue. It's the new Hinduism of the future. Hinduism says that you are part of God. You're part of God and you live through many reincarnations. And then when the time comes for you to be freed from all of that, you just become part of the Oversoul or part of Nirvana. You reach Nirvana and you become part of God. And your consciousness is part of God's consciousness. Same thing with transhumanism. All of these things are being developed at an extremely rapid pace. Man's alignment, man's global alignment with Satan is going to take bold form in the near future. But through all of this, many are going to come into alignment with Christ. There's huge choice between people because all of the things I've just talked about are mesmerizing. They're enticing. They promise you great capacity, great capabilities, and extended life. All of these different things, but then you have the choice of Christ. Christ who died for you. Christ who promises you an eternity that doesn't have to be developed biomedically. Supernatural transformation of your entire being. That you might live in eternity with God forever. Through all of this, many will come into the kingdom. They'll come into alignment with Christ. The question today is, are you in alignment? Is there an area of your life that's out of alignment? You think that one area out of alignment doesn't hurt anything. But if the two tires are not in alignment, it can't go straight. It can't stay on course. And it will wreck. Are you in alignment with God's will for your life? Do you know what God's will is for your life? Are you in alignment with His plan for you? Are you in alignment with how He desires your testimony to be lived out in the culture around you? Are you in alignment with His will for you as a moral being? Are you in alignment with his laws of righteousness? In the word of God, he says in all of it, come out of Babylon. Come out of her, he says. Come out of her, my people, and touch not the unclean thing. Come out of everything that hinders your alignment with Christ. Come out of alignment with Babylon. Come out of Babel, this one world system, religion and economy and government, and reject every idea and every thought that hinders your alignment with Christ. Hinders your alignment with Christ. The last part of this morning, is to remind you that what your alignment is. Alignment with God is alignment with the gospel of his cross. It is contrary to everything that the world aligns with. Everything the world aligns with feeds self. Everything that the world aligns with feeds the ego and the opinions of man and says you can be your own God, just as Satan told Eve in the Garden of Eden. Agreement with God's will means agreement with his cross. What do I mean by that? We're going to transition this morning, and we're going to incorporate communion into the last part of the message here instead of it being separate. So if you want to go ahead and be getting your elements ready, I want to, as our communion meditation this morning, I want to talk about this final alignment. Alignment with the cross of Christ. Because if you align yourself with the cross of Christ, you will be at odds with everything in the world around you. Jesus came to Gethsemane, and his test was, would he remain aligned with the will of the Father? Would he remain aligned with the will of the Father? I ask you this morning, are you willing to be aligned with God's will for your life? Have you counted the cost? What has it cost you to follow Christ? Jesus agonized in the garden, and he never failed to be in alignment with the Father, but there was so much going on in that moment that it weighed so heavily on him. And he had to remain. It says that he grew and that he learned as he walked in righteousness and as he went through suffering and through these agonizing things that he went through. He never failed at it, but he was growing. And he had to grow in obedience. It's one thing to be obedient when you're a little child and it's be obedient to a simple rule, don't eat the cookie. But when all of life is clamoring around you and there's temptation to do things that give you almost godlike status, I mean, in order to continue in this life and to have the influence you need and to walk in the way that you want to walk, there's this huge temptation to do your own will. All of you are facing it. You're all facing it right now. I know you are. There is the temptation to do your own will as opposed to the will of the Father. You're being pulled at. You're like the car that's out of alignment and it wants to tug to the right or tug to the left, as in most cases. Where are you standing in your walk, in your alignment, just like that projector lens, so that things are in sharp focus? Do you even have a focus in your life? This is the will of God for my life, and I will walk in it. God has called me to surrender certain things in my life that would harm me in order that I might walk in his fullness. Or do you live your life thinking, oh, if I do this, God's taking this from me. God's taking that from me. Oh, this is going to be so hard if I obey God here in this area. Or do you find, as Jesus says through David in the Psalms in advance, I delight to do your will, O God. I delight to do your will, O God. Agreement with his cross is agreement with suffering. That as a believer, there are going to be things that you will suffer. But Christ will be with you in it. And your strength will not be your own strength, but it will be his strength. And that you're able to endure because of his presence with you. Agreement with his cross is agreement with separation from the world. Jesus was totally separated from this world system. He rejected this world system because they made themselves to be gods. He came and he was willing to be totally separate. He didn't need other people's acceptance in order to be complete. He wants your acceptance for your own good, but he doesn't need anybody's acceptance in order to be complete. How much do you need other people's opinions to be good, good opinions of you, in order to be complete? The agreement with the cross is agreement with the way of salvation. That there is no other way except through Jesus Christ. That he has made the way for us, and that when we choose him, we choose to walk with him. It's through a narrow gate, a narrow way that he says you must come to come into his kingdom. Agreement with his cross means agreement with self-denial. Choosing to deny your own desires many times, denying self and choosing the will of the Lord. Agreement with the cross, alignment with the cross means agreement with his death, which was a complete death to self in order to do the will of God. And not only is it a agreement with his death, it's agreement with his resurrection. Everything's not about death and dying with the Lord. Resurrection is about new life. Resurrection is about power to live. Resurrection is about a glorified body that we're going to receive. Resurrection is about living with him throughout all of eternity. Resurrection means that I can overcome every circumstance that Satan throws at me. Resurrection means that I get up out of bed tomorrow morning and I can be victorious. One more day, one day at a time, because the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of me. Alignment with his cross means agreement with his exalted throne. After the resurrection and after his death and burial, he ascended to the throne of God and was seated there. And the Bible says that by faith we are seated with him in heavenly places. All things are placed beneath his feet. Beloved, we have to stop and look at the reality. And you'll either accept the reality or you'll reject it. But don't live in this netherland halfway in between. Look into what Christ says and either accept it or either reject it. Don't live halfway. Don't be lukewarm, he says. He is a king. He's the only king. He is seated upon the throne of heaven. He took on flesh and blood and came for you and I. It's real. He lived a real life and he died a real death. And he suffered real suffering on the cross because he loved you with a love that's stronger than any human love you've ever known. Alignment with all of that is what brings you into the joy of the Lord. Being the bedrock of your life. Agreement with all of these things. The Lord is calling you this morning. He's calling you into alignment. In the upper room, he took the cup and he took the bread. And it was a call. This last couple of minutes, I want you to place yourself in the upper room with the Lord and with the disciples. And I want you to really think, because he was willing to leave that room and go out to be crucified for you and I. And he was issuing a call. He said in one place, he said, are you willing? He had already asked the disciples, are you willing to suffer with me? Are you willing to die with me if necessary? He said, and he couched it in metaphoric language. He said, are you willing to be baptized with the baptism with which I'm going to be baptized? And he's talking about the baptism of his suffering and his death. Are you willing to follow him all the way? That's what he asked the disciples. And of course they said yes, but they had no clue what it was going to mean until they saw him suffering on the cross, we say yes. Yes, Lord, we are able. We're able to do this, Lord, but we know that we're weak. And only He can pull us through. I'm not saying that we can do any of this in our own strength. But the Lord issues a call. The call is for you to come in faith. The call is not for you to be perfect. Hear what I'm saying this morning. The call is not to perfection. The call is not really, are you able? The call is, are you willing to come by faith and say, Lord, do it in me. Change my heart, Lord, because I'm weak. Change my heart, Lord, because I want to follow you. But I come and I respond by coming into alignment in agreement with your word, agreement with your will, agreement with your kingdom. That means I'm going to be tested. I'm going to have to reject some things. And it's going to be the rejecting of the things of this world all around me. Not easy, many times. In the garden and at Gethsemane and in the garden he was betrayed. Are you willing to be betrayed? Have you ever been betrayed by a friend? That's what it was with Jesus. He said to Judas, friend, why have you come? He knew why he came. Are you willing to be betrayed following the Lord? What if all of your family betrays you? These are some hard questions, but these are to be thought about. See, if you cannot think and you can be swept along in the tsunami. But we need to think. Are you willing to count the cost? Are you willing to choose, even though it may cost you not one relationship, maybe many? You may be betrayed. Are you willing? Are you willing to sell out? Are you willing to say, Lord Jesus, I'm yours no matter what it did, no matter what. I want to follow you. On the night he was betrayed, that's what he was asking them. He took the bread and he blessed it and broke it and said, this is my body given for you. When he said, eat this in remembrance of me, it's saying, take my will into your life. And after supper, he took the cup and said, this is my blood poured out for the forgiveness of sins. Drink all of it. Be willing to drink this entire cup. As we enter 2023, these are some things for you to think about. Where is your alignment? Are you in alignment with God or not? Is your life in focus and sharp and clear for the Lord or not? Are you following Him? Are you just watching? Watching other people following God? What is your alignment? Father, I thank you, Lord, for these who are able to be here today. I thank you for those watching my live stream. We continue to ask for healing for those who are sick, Lord. Lord, as we enter a new year, direct us, Lord. Speak to our hearts and minds. Don't leave us where we were in 2022. Help us to see the things that are happening, Lord God, and to always choose alignment with you, Lord. To choose it not begrudgingly, but to choose it joyfully. Lord, that you might be the joy of our salvation. Lord, I thank you, Lord. Lord, in my feeble attempt to bring this word, I pray that something in this word would find lodging in the hearts of your people, Lord God, and would help them today, that they would have in their thoughts this week, that it would not be able to escape them, Lord, this thought of alignment. Am I aligned fully with the Lord? Help your people, Lord God, in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.